And it's a joy to be back in church again. As I mentioned before, I want you to keep on praying for Brother Burt Martin. I meant to mention that before our prayer time. He is doing well, and he's home after surgery. And so I want you to keep him in your prayers, that he'll just continue to recuperate. And please continue praying for Miss Connie Fish as well, as she's home recuperating also. And we're trusting the Lord. But I was thinking about this, how good it is just to see different folks and be around together, and then how the family of God is a wonderful group to be a part of, and that's not always met inside this room, although we all get to fellowship here in this room. I was at a revival the other day, and somebody said, oh, my good friends Walter and Pam Johnson go there, and said, yes, they do, and they want me to keep an eye on you, but the singing group that was in and at this revival over at Dyson Grove Baptist Church, and I think it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. I had a preacher call me on the phone, and they were talking about Miss Jennifer that was playing the piano that they used to serve through some summer ministry. And so this person was talking about somebody in the church, and I was talking to another pastor, and he was bragging on Kyle's dad and the ministry of BIMI, but then and then Kyle and different things. And I was talking to my brother the other day, and Buddy, he was talking about you, but he just called you the woodman, Buddy Callahan. He said, well, how about the woodman, the guy with the sawmill and all? And so I said, yeah, he's doing good. I just say all these things because it's wonderful to be a part of the family of God. Wonderful to be saved, wonderful to have that bond of Christ, and wonderful to know other people, and as you're out and about, that different folks are still on the firing line for the Lord, still serving Jesus, still trying to lift up His name, and it's just a joy to get to come together now on Sunday morning, the time, God's, the Lord's day, and we're thankful for you being here with us as well. Well, I want to preach to you for a little bit also, and trust that the Lord will bless us as we look in Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23, we'll look in verses 8, 9, and 10. You find your place in Job 23. I did hear this story while you're finding your place there in Job 23. I heard this story about a fellow that was in New York City, and he'd never really been there before, and he was just trying to get used to all the stuff that was happening, so much hustle and bustling. Finally, it was timid, and it didn't work for a little while, but finally he hailed a cab, and cab driver pulled over there, and he jumped in the back, and he told him his address, which was a long way away, so the guy was driving in silence for a good while. But then the passenger finally remembered he'd tell him something else about it was a hard, difficult place to find. It's back in behind somewhere. And so they'd been traveling for some 10, 15 minutes. And finally the passenger reached up and tapped him on the shoulder because that little plexiglass was open up. Finally reached up and tapped him on the shoulder. About that time, the guy that was driving, he just froze. And he was just, you could tell, he just physically shaken by that. And so he run off the road, almost ran into a crowd of people, and finally smacked into an electric pole and stopped, and he was just frantic. His face was white, and that guy's like, what in the world's wrong? And the driver turned around. He said, I'm so sorry about all this. And he said, you don't understand. He said, this is my first day on the job. He said, I've been a hearse funeral coach driver for the last 25 years. He said, when somebody from the back came up and reached up and touched me, I don't know what was going to happen. So you might want to give that guy a little warning. So Job 28:3, I want to preach to you for the next few moments about this subject, when you really can't see God. Some of the most heart-wrenching things have happened to people in this room in the last months. Some of you sit here today and you're without the person who you love more than anybody else on this earth. Some of you have gotten the worst calls on telephones. Some of you have gotten the dreaded C word, cancer, that has invaded your body. Sometimes we get into such a shape, and we really, it's not like one of the mountaintop experiences, and maybe not even like the valley, more like a desert experience where we can't feel the Lord moving. There's been times in your life when you had everything going for you. Boy, you realize it was clicking along just like it ought to be, and God was blessing you, and you were shouting His praises, and it was such a wonderful time. But you've been through some times now when the fog is so thick you just can't see God. Job, you remember the story as we set it all up. Job was God's pet, is what Satan said, basically, and God allowed Satan to come and wreak some havoc on Job's life. You remember the story? Satan come to Job and or same came to God and said, "Yeah, he obeys you, he loves you because you're so good to him." But God lifted the hedge and Satan was able to come and buffet Job for a while, and Satan was able to come and rip family away and his health, and he was able to do so much to him. So much so that Job got to a place where he says in the passage that we're going to read that he looked to his right hand, he looked to his left hand, he looked everywhere, but he just really couldn't see the Lord doing anything. And I'm thinking that maybe some of us are in that way. Used to be, fellowship was sweet, and you'd open that book and say, wow, it just came alive to you. Maybe when you were a teenager and it was fresh, it was new, and you really were vibrant in your Christian life, but now you seem like you've gotten a little bit more mature, and now you kind of left that behind, and now it doesn't seem so vibrant anymore to you. Maybe there was a time in your young marriage that you took your wife's hand by the hand and you said, we're going to go forward for the Lord and we're going to do something big for Him. We're going to live our lives. We're going to raise our family. But now you've gotten so used to everything and it doesn't seem like it's vibrant anymore. I want you to look in Job 23, verse number 8. The Bible says here in this passage, behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, he says, I know he works up there somewhere, but I cannot behold him. Verse number 9. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. There's more to the passage than that. Verse number 6, will he plead against me with this great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Verse number 3, look if this isn't you sometimes. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I'd order my cause before him, meaning I'd give the reasons why I'm trying so hard and fill my mouth with arguments. Verse number 2, maybe you've been there as well. Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. I don't know where you found yourself in there, but undoubtedly some of us have found ourselves in verse number 8 and 9. I looked on my left hand and I can't behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. It doesn't matter how many times we tell ourselves that we shouldn't do it. We all still ask, God, why do bad things happen to good people? You've, like me, you've heard it said, well, I would argue that even there are any good of us because the Bible says there's none righteous. But we all know those things. But all of us find ourselves in that spot from time to time where we ask that question. You may be this morning feeling like your life is spinning so far out of control and you're like you're in a dizzy spell because somebody has put your life in that way and you really can't find the Lord because there's so many things swirling around. Job felt like the world had picked him up and in the whirlwind destroyed every good part in his life. And this is where we find him in this passage. I looked to the left, I looked to my right, but I couldn't find him. And you may not be in that situation today. If you're not, I want you to tuck this sermon away and remember for when you are. But if you are there this morning, I assume that's why the Lord seemed to lead me in this direction, because somebody needs it this morning. I want to give you that message of hope, because maybe you can see yourself there. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Give us these precious moments together. And as Brother Danny preached or prayed earlier, and I prayed, dear Lord, we need you to work in this service. But Lord, I can't do it. You can. I pray that you would. In Jesus' name, amen. When you can't see God, I'm reminded of a funny little story about these two boys that were very mischievous, and they were twin boys, and they were always getting in trouble, and they were always on the radar of their mom and their principal and all that. Finally got the idea that they'd take them to see the pastor that they went to the church, and so the pastor brought them in, set one outside in the secretary's office outside, brought him in there right beside, right there in the little seat, and he thought, I'm going to try to be bold, and I'm going to try to make him think about all the things that are going on in life. And he looked down at that boy and he said, son, where is God? He was trying to be real theological. You know, God's everywhere and God's watching. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro. He said, where is God? And that little boy, he was just big-eyed. He's just looking back there, putting his head back in the little chair. And he said, and he asked him again, son, where is God? But finally, like it unhinged, he finally couldn't take any more, and he was just worried and nervous and scared. And finally, he just bolted and grabbed that door and ran out through the secretary's office, got his twin brother by the arm, and ran as fast as he could out back behind the church and hid behind some trees. And the one boy that was out in the secretary's office says, what in the world's going on? He said, I don't know, but God's missing, and they think we've had something to do with it. You may be asking yourself, where is God? Where is God when all these things are going on? I want to preach just for a few moments about this. Number one, I have to admit to you, I can't always find God. Look at verse 8 and 9 again. Verse 9, on the left hand where he doth work, but I can't behold him. He hideth himself. Sometimes it's not only that I can't find him in my life and see what he's doing, but sometimes, as the verse number 9 says, on the left hand where he doth work, we know sometimes he's working, and it seems like oftentimes he's working in other people's lives, but he's not working in mine. Sometimes as a pastor, you look and you see God, it's amazing. You see God doing all these things in the church somewhere else, and say, wow, look at that, and look at that, and look at what that's happening. And it's amazing. You ever notice if you're on social media how nobody has a bad day on social media? Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the rest of them. Some have come, some of them gone, some of them stayed. You don't put the bad day on there. A person will go for 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 days, not post anything. Why? They're having a bad day. Bad week, bad month, bad life, whatever. But whenever they get something put back on social media, it's all good. Same with pastors. They're all the same way. They go without anybody being saved, without any good crowd, without anybody being baptized, without anybody being blessed, without anything good happening, and they never hear anything from them. And then when they finally do come through with it, they say, oh, wow, the baptismal waters were stirred, and so-and-so got saved, and this happened, and this happened. And then a preacher like me looks and says, wow, he must be doing something right. But if you'd follow that back for the last 52 Sundays, he didn't put anything. Sometimes it seems like God's doing something for other people, but he's not doing something for you. Scripture says he works on the left hand. I know he does, but I can't see it. You remember playing hide and seek as a kid, and sometimes you get your older brother, your older cousin to play with you, and they're very smart. They can find a place. It's wonderful to watch little kids play hide and seek. They'd hide behind that speaker right there and think you can't see them. Or some little kids, when they're real little, they would do this. It's always my funny favorite thing when they do, and they'll hide right there in plain sight and do this. They can't see you, so they assume you can't see them. But boy, if you ever get an older teenager, and you're a little kid, an older teenager, he'll hide in a great place, truly good place, and you'll never find him. Sometimes it seems like that's the way God is. He's hid so well, you can't find him. It just seems like you've been looking and looking and looking, praying, seeking, reading, but just can't find him. I'm telling you, number one, I can't always find God. You remember where you were when you heard about the Twin Towers? If you're old enough, you remember where you were probably when you heard that first jet went into that Twin Tower, and then a little bit later that other one. Maybe you're of the older generation. You say, I can remember more of that. I can remember, most people do, if they were of age, they would remember where they were when they heard about President Kennedy being shot back decades ago. Or maybe you get a little more personal. You remember where you were when you got the word that your dad went to heaven. Remember where you were when you got that phone call that dad's got cancer or some life-changing event happened. And sometimes those things happen to the point where I just can't seem to find God. Oh, I know He's there. You're a good enough Christian. You know He's there. You know He's working. You know you're saved. You've got all those things settled. But as far as that wonderful feeling of connection, I just can't find Him. Number one, all I can tell you is I can't always find Him, but I think of this as you stumble around and try to find Him, looking for Him. I want you to know this, number two, that when I can't see Him, I've got my marching orders. When I can't see Him, I'm supposed to keep doing what I know to do. You say, where do you get that? Well, look down at verse 11, if you would. We see in verse number 8 and verse number 9, I'm looking all over the place for Him. I can't find Him, Job says. But the Bible says in verse number 11, my foot, Job speaking, my foot hath held His steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Job says, in the midst of not being able to get a visual on Him, in the midst of not knowing what He's doing, seems like He's working over there in other people's lives, but He's not working in my life. In the midst of all that, even though it seems to have gone cold, it seems to have gotten difficult, it seems that it's not as fresh as it used to be, I can't see God working. But in verse number 11, He says, my foot hath held His steps, I have kept them, I have not declined. Look at verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of His lips. I've esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Meaning, not only can I tell you, number one, that we can't always find God, but number two, when we can't see Him, we are commanded, we're supposed to keep doing what He's already told us to do, even when it doesn't seem as fresh as we want it to. There's very good times or very great commands in the military, and you, if you're in the military, are commanded to go with the last orders that you got until new ones come. July 16th, John F. Kennedy Jr. flew his plane, took off from Martha's Vineyard, his wife and his sister-in-law in there with him. Of course, he was licensed to fly, and he was licensed to fly by sight. He was able to navigate an airplane, but by sight. He was not authorized, or he was not certified to fly by instrument. Storm bad that night, and it got to a place where he could not fly his plane as he took off in bad weather. He was not able to fly it by sight. There's massive search parties for him because of the fame of him and his family. And it was later found out that he got disoriented as he was flying that plane. He'd earlier had an accident and had some kind of a cast or a boot on one foot. Maybe that had something to do with it. But by and large, the main problem was that he was not certified to fly his plane by instrument, but that's what he needed to do because sight was so limited, he was not able to navigate by what he saw. One expert put it like this: he wasn't experienced enough to trust his instruments. And what they say, and I've certainly never been in that situation, but what they say, your body gets so disoriented and you think one thing, but that thing is not true. You're convincing yourself because everything in your brain is telling you that something's happening, but the opposite is actually happening. They, as far as they can ascertain what Kennedy did when he was flying, he thought by his visual what he could see, he thought that he needed to pull that plane up and go away from the water. But in actuality, what he did was he pulled the plane right down into the water and crashed to his death and his passengers as well. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that sometimes we need to trust our instrument because our eyes deceive us. Our heart certainly deceives us. And all of this talk in our society about just follow your heart, follow what you want to do. You find your truth and you find what's best for you. My friend, your truth and your heart and my eyes will deceive me at every time. My heart is still desperately wicked and deceitful. So it's not good advice for me to find what works best for me. Instead, what's best is for me to fly by the instrument, and the instrument that God has given every Christian in your life is the Word of God. So when you and I don't feel like we can navigate our way through, we need to learn to fly our lives by instrument. And the instrument is the word of God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Brother Dan and I will have yet another service, a funeral tomorrow. And we say oftentimes the same thing, that yes, God will walk through this valley with you. But at times like that, people often feel neglected. They feel alone. They feel like, I can't find God. But I tell them each and every time that the Lord, as a believer, the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. Number one, I can't always find the Lord. But number two, when I can't see Him, I need to keep doing what I know. I want to give you this third one just so you can be encouraged this morning. Up till now, it's been somewhat dismal that the Lord, you can't find Him all the time. And all you're doing is sometimes just by character, okay, I'm going to get up and do what I know. I'm going to get up and do what I'm supposed to. I'm going to get up and do what the Word tells me to do, even if I don't feel like it. How many of you ever got up in the morning and you did not feel inspired? Do you ever notice your boss doesn't care whether you're inspired or not? He cares whether you're there at 7 or 8 or whatever time it is. If we got up every morning that we felt inspired and ready to go, I imagine our attendance record would be pretty dismal. We get up when we feel like it. We get up when we don't, because there's a job to do. In our Christian lives, it's that way oftentimes as well. We can't see the Lord, but we ought to get up, read the Word, get up and ask the Lord to guide us. But again, I tell you, those are not that encouraging just out of character. But let me give you this last one. Number three, not only can I not always find Him, and can I should keep on with whatever I'm doing even when I can't find Him. But number three, let me give you this encouraging part, and that is this. When I don't know where He is, He knows where I am. Look at verse 10, would you? All of this talk of Job saying, I can't find Him. My foot's still going the right way, but I can't find Him. When you can't find Him, He can find you. Verse number 10, but He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Just because you can't see Him, His vision has not been altered one bit. You've probably done the same thing. Our three kids, we've got, as they were growing up, sometimes they'd go into a store and they would forget all about mom and dad. It's amazing how they find you when they want to buy something. But when they don't want to buy anything, they wander off. And so when they were very little, we wouldn't let them wander far, but they'd go play. And they'd be all fine playing with whatever until it finally hit them. I don't know where mom or dad is. Now, as teenagers, that's probably a good feeling. All good. I don't know where they are. Hope they don't know where I am. But when they're younger, toddlers, it hits them. And then they get all worried. I've stood different times and watched, because we were keeping them in our watch care, but they weren't paying attention to us. And then you see that look of fear come over their face. And then you go and say, I'm here, right here. And my friend, sometimes you and I are playing with some toys as well. Or we're fiddling with this over here. We've got our attention drawn over here. And we forget where our Heavenly Father's face is as well. But just like you watched your kids and you made sure nobody took care of you, took them, you made sure nobody mistreated them, you made sure that they were safe, you made sure even when they didn't know, you did. When they were oblivious to whether you existed or not, you were watching them. Your watching them wasn't dependent on them, but their living and their succeeding and their existing was dependent on you taking care of them. And I'm saying just the same when the Lord, as the Word of God says, but He knoweth the way that I take. When I can't find Him, He knows. And not only does He say that He knows the path, but He also says at the end of the verse, I shall come forth as gold. You got to admit that Job was better off at the end than he was at the beginning. He did come forth as gold. And I'm telling you this morning, my friend, if your path is dark, He sees you. If your path is cloudy, His vision is clear. If your waters are troubled, He's calm. Your God has you covered. Let me give you this story. This several years ago, Mom was still here, and we were at Mom and Dad's house for Christmas, and Dad just lives in an old farmhouse, a little upstairs, living space, but not really a good staircase to get up there. A lot of little Jenny Lind style houses are built around there. I was downstairs talking to Mom and Dad, and Amy and the kids already went up to bed, and it was time for me to come to bed, and so I went up there, but I didn't want to turn the light on so I didn't disturb anybody else. I didn't have my phone because it didn't work down there at that point. And so I was just trying to navigate my way up these little steps. I tripped up the steps. One thing we trip down, another thing we trip up them. And so about hit my face there on the little set of steps. And I bumped my head because I was too tall for that little stairwell that comes down out of the attic. And I got over there, about stepped on Jared. He was laying on the floor. The whole family was just camped out there, about stepped on him. And I knocked a glass of water or water bottle. Somebody had one there, knocked it off and spilled it. And I thought, well, I don't want to bother anybody, but you know, you're like a bull going through this China shop, and probably you're about everybody awake by this point. But finally, Amy, I think she was laying over there laughing at me, and finally she woke up and she came over and led her poor husband, here, come this way, and no, come this way, and then finally put me in bed and tucked me in and said, I'll get you in the morning. Her helpless husband trying to get me over there. Why could she do that? She'd been up there for an hour already. Her eyes were adjusted. Pupils were adjusted to the light. There was some moonlight coming in the windows, but I couldn't navigate around. My eyes were used to the light that was downstairs. We were reading some stuff and looking at some stuff, and my eyes weren't ready for that darkness. But hers were just fine. There was plenty of enough light in there for her to walk all the way around that room and get anybody and take care of the kids as she did, and she would take care of me and do all those things because she could see what I couldn't. And my friend, I'm just here to tell you, when you can't see well enough to navigate through life, our God's vision is so pure and 100%. And when you can't see your way past the heartache that's going on right now in your life, I just want to come to tell you today, praise my Jesus, He can lead you all the way. Here you are navigating your life without the most blessed person that you've ever met because now he or she's gone on. And the fog has been so thick that you can't see where you need to go. But my friend, our Savior's vision is quite clear this morning. And when you can't see God, please rest assured He can see you. If you're a believer in this room this morning, and you've been going through some deep, dark valleys, my friend, you need not fear. You can rest assured that as Job said, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips, because he knoweth the way that I take. Have you been lost in the journey a little bit? I think all of us have. Last year and a half has not been pleasant to anybody. And some of you, that's been worsened by different events, surgeries and the like, the loss of someone. But like Job, we can say this morning that he knoweth the way that I take. And if you're a believer in this room this morning, you take heart, my friend. You take comfort and you take courage that he knoweth the way that I take. And I shall come forth as gold. God will do what God wants to do. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, maybe everybody that you know thinks you are, but you're not, my Lord is looking and wants you to be saved. Perhaps you're here and your life has been such utter chaos and a mess. Jesus is calling you to come to Him and be saved. If you're here and you're not sure that you're one of His born-again children, My friend, he is looking over all this, and he's navigating you. He's orchestrating events in your life so that you'll look to him and be saved. If you're here and you're not sure you're saved, I ask you to do that today. In just a moment, we'll bow our heads and we'll give opportunity. Brother Kyle will be standing in front of the pulpit here after we pray, and would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. If you're navigating through this life and you feel like you're stumbling and bumbling on every event that's happening, perhaps it's this, that you need the Savior. And if you're here and you're saved, you say, Brother John, I already know that. I'm saved. But it seems like there's been a veil that's come down. Seems like the darkness has settled in. Seems about like us after this time change that's so dark or so early. I didn't think it'd get this dark so early in my life, but it just seems like the veil has dropped and the darkness is here. My friend, you take heart. When you don't know where he is, he knows where you are. And when you don't know what to do, you keep doing what the instrument said. You keep following this book. You keep seeking the Lord. You keep reading his word. You keep taking that next step that God has indicated you should in his word. When I can't find God, when I can't see God, God gives us the recipe, gives us the commandment of how we ought to proceed. Let's be sure that we do it. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to pray for you, and as our ladies come to play something through, we'll have what we call the invitation, and that just means we invite you to do business with the Lord. Maybe there's something deep that only you and God knows. I pray that you'd get it settled today. But maybe you came in here today and you feel like the darkness has settled in. The fog just won't lift. Your direction is not clear. Your steps seem to stumble. Can I encourage you to just get back into the Word, get back into the book. Keep walking as God has commanded us to walk. Keep trusting Him. He knoweth the way that you take. And if you're here and you're not saved, then I invite you in just a moment as we stand, not stand all the way to your feet, just find an aisle and come down here and let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Oh, see, I know what you want to do. You want to make a Baptist out of me. I couldn't care less. I want to show you the Savior. Maybe you're here and you have some other spiritual need you need to work on. You're saved, but you've never been baptized. I invite you to come and present yourself. We'll do that very soon. Maybe you need to be a member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and you'd like to come present yourself for that. Whatever your need is, listen, folks, let's take that next step. Though our way get dreary, my body is weary, dear Lord, please help me keep trusting on. When we can't see Him, let's trust Him. Bless these, my good friends, dear Lord, I pray. Help each of us walk out of these doors knowing that we've done what you've worked in our heart to do, and we'll thank you for it. Would you stand together as they play? If God has spoken to your heart, I invite you to come. As I said, Brother Kyle's down here in the front. If you need somebody to pray with, he'd be glad to. Maybe you just have some need in your heart and you just love to come to the altar and pray. You say, do I have to do that? No, not at all. But sometimes in my life, I couldn't do anything but go to the altar. And I'm certainly glad there was an altar to go to. My friend, how about it? Are you here in your... Are you 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven? You know the Lord is your Savior. If you do, I rejoice with you. What a blessing. But if you're not sure about that, this church was started and continued now for these years and years, hundreds of years, to keep pointing people to Jesus Christ. If you're not sure that you're saved, would you step out and come? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. Again, maybe there's some other spiritual need you need to address. You're saved, but you've never been baptized. you'd like to proclaim it to the world, well, God gives you an outlet to do that. Follow Him in baptism and the whole group can see. Thank you so much. You may look this way. What a joy to be in God's house this morning. First day of the week. We typically look at Monday as the first day because that's the first day of the work week. But Sunday, the first day of the week. And we are giving God, of course, the Lord's Day. And you, here you are on a Sunday morning. And what a joy to get to see each of you. And, you know, you look around. I'm thankful to be the pastor of this wonderful church. And you look around and you see, I know that every time we meet, one of these days is going to be the last. And so we want to rejoice with the opportunity to see what God is doing. And so we thank God for all that He has given to us. And so as we dismiss, I'm going to ask Brother Walter Johns, who I mentioned earlier, has been a great blessing to Amy and I and our church. And so I want him to dismiss us in prayer and then trust that you'll talk with several folks that you haven't talked to yet today on your way out, maybe in the parking lot, maybe in the lobby, wherever. But you'll make it a habit to be encouraging one another. Because I do believe that somebody, if you talk to four people, I bet one of those folks were down and disheartened about something. And God can use us to lift up and encourage you. So I don't know what's going on in their life. You don't have to. God can take some word that you say and just pierce their heart with it and just encourage them. So thank you for being in church. Brother Walter, won't you pray for us, please?
We thank you for this message and for the reminders that no one has truly ever cared for us like you have. And that when the things of life have us down and the days look dark and dreary, that you are there to lead us when we can't see, that you're there, you are there for us. Lead God and direct us throughout this day. Bring us back at the next appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.